Our scripture this morning, as we continue today, we're going to conclude Acts chapter 9. We have been in Acts chapter 9 for several weeks as we have been journeying through this book. A chapter that began with the conversion of Saul of Tarshish on his way to Damascus. And then we had seen after that great dramatic conversion account when he met Christ and his life was changed. Then he had seen how Barnabas had taken him under his wing and taken him on his side to encourage him. And now the power of encouragement made a difference in his life, and how through the encouragement of one another, we find great strength. Now the narrative switches back to Peter. After we see Paul coming to faith in Christ and the great dramatic salvation that took place, it goes back now to Peter and what God was doing in and through him. As we pick up the story, the account at verse 32, we'll be reading through the end of the chapter. As Peter traveled around the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, take care of your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men and urged him to come. "Please come at once." Peter went to them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs into the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him all the robes and outer clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to him alive, to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its truth. And Lord, as we see in your word, you at work. And the book of Acts is a story, the account of you at work through the lives of your people, through men and women who were just like us, who were no different than us, who under the power of your Holy Spirit did great things for you. And Father, I pray that through your word this morning, you would show us and speak to us how as well we can do great things for you as your Holy Spirit works in and through us this day. Because Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So speak to us through your word. May we see you, may we hear you, because you have recorded your word for us and revealed it to us that we may see you and experience you and learn from you. For all scripture is inspired for teaching and profitable to us. So through your word, speak to our hearts together today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus has done some truly great and amazing things when he was on this earth. He healed the sick. He made blind see. He healed lepers. He healed a woman who had an issue of bleeding for 38 years. And he raised the dead. Did some incredible great things. And if you would think of some of the great things Jesus did, those are a few, but the greatest thing of all was his own death, burial, and resurrection. But Jesus had done some truly great things. But before he left and ascended to his Father, he had said to his disciples in the upper room, as he was preparing, and after they just shared together in communion around that last table of the Passover, and he promised, he said, I am going to my Father's house, and if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you and take you to be with me. And he said, I'm going to leave, and I know you're going to miss me, but when I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come upon you. And he will be with you always. And he said, most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that you saw me do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And Jesus said to his disciples before he left, you've seen me do some great things. But when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to do greater things than me. Say, wow. How can we do greater things than Jesus? He did some great and amazing things. Excuse me, if you were a part of Del Tackett's teaching in the Engagement Project, remember that he talked about this verse. And he said, as Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, we would do greater things than Jesus, greater works than Jesus, because the Holy Spirit comes upon all of us. And that greater means greater in quantity. It means that as Holy Spirit is working through all of us, he enables us to do what Jesus did, greater works than Jesus, in that all of us together can do his work. That the Holy Spirit upon you and I has called and come upon you to do great works for Jesus. Great and amazing things. The book of Acts is that very thing. It's been called the Acts of the Apostles, but I like to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Church, because it's the acts of the action of the church at work, you and I, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and empowers us. In this chapter, as this chapter comes to a close, Luke records for us two amazing things that Peter did. You would have to say they were pretty great and amazing things. One was a man who had been an invalid. He had been crippled. And his name was Aeneas. He lived in the town of Lydia. Excuse me. And Peter went and healed him. He said, get up, take up your mat, and walk. And he healed him. A great, amazing thing. Can I do that? Can you do that? Probably not, but in the power of the Holy Spirit enabled him to. But even something greater than that was a lady whose name was Dorcas or Tabitha. And she got sick to the point where she died. They called for Peter to come in. And he did, I would say, a great and amazing thing. He raised her from the dead again. Resurrections accounts in Scripture are very rare. Very few do we have the part where someone is raised from the dead. Jesus did it three times. Elisha and Elijah did it. And here Peter and Paul, we'll find out later on, Paul. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he brought her back to life. I would say that was a great and amazing thing, wouldn't you? And you say, as we read this chapter, well, how does this apply to me? Dan, I'm not going to raise anybody from the dead. I don't have the power to heal anybody. I don't have the power to restore someone to life. How does this account in Scripture apply to me? And if all Scripture is inspired by God, which it is, and it's in here for a reason for teaching, God has something he wants us to learn from this. You believe that? He does. Because he calls us all, just as he told us, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will do greater things than Jesus. And here we see Peter doing that very thing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at this, these two accounts of these two healings and resurrection in this chapter, we discover four truths that we can apply to our life as we do great things for Jesus today. Because he calls us all to do great things for him. And the first thing we discover is we are to do what we see Jesus do. That's what we're called to do in the greatest works. Whatever we see Jesus do, that's what we are called to do. And in this first, as you read over these accounts of first Aeneas, the man named Aeneas who lived in Lydia, and he had been an invalid for years. He was laying on a mat and he couldn't walk. Peter says, get up, take up your mat and walk. Does that sound familiar to you? Knowing from Scripture, knowing the life of Jesus, have you seen that somewhere before? Where? At the gate, when Peter did it, there. But have you seen that somewhere in the life of Jesus before? The Pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5. There was a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And he laid at the Pool of Bethesda for 38 years, had given up hope. Jesus came there one day. And then he said, you want to get well? He said, every time I try to get into the lake, the pool, someone gets in before me. And remember what Jesus said to him? Get up, take up your mat, and walk. And what happened? He did. And he was healed. Peter here was doing what he saw Jesus do. He had seen Jesus do that same thing. And under the power of the Holy Spirit working through him, he was doing the works of Jesus. He was imitating what he had seen Jesus do. Do you think Jesus calls us to do the same thing? To do what we see him doing today? And that's how we do greater works in our day. What we see Jesus doing in the Gospels, what we see Jesus doing in his word, he calls us to do. Then we hear in Joppa, a lady by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas. Dorcas was her Greek name, Tabitha, her Aramaic name. And Dorcas was a person, as you read about it, it says she was a disciple. It's an interesting thing about that. She is the only time mentioned in a woman was called a disciple. But she cared for the poor. And she had a life where we're going to talk more about what she did. But Peter came in and said, Tabitha, arise. Does that sound like anything you've seen before in the scripture? Have you seen that before anywhere in the life of Jesus? Gary's shaking his head, yeah, can you remember? The little girl, her name was Jairus' daughter. Jairus was the synagogue leader. And she was getting sick and sent word to Jesus, Jesus, come, my daughter's dying. And so Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house and a crowd of people were thronging him and there was this woman that had been issue of bleeding for 38 years and had spent all her money that she had on doctors and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she did. By the time Jesus got over to Jairus' house, Tabitha had died. And so Jesus said, take all the people out. And I'd like you to comment on a verse. I'd like you to write this verse down. Luke chapter 8, verse 51. Mark that down under this because it's a key here. Jesus went into Jairus' house. And in chapter 8, 51 of Luke, it says, Jesus didn't allow anybody to go into the room. He made everybody get out of the room except three people. He took James, Peter, and John with him. And he took Peter, James, and John with him into the room, sent everybody else. And Jesus said to her, little girl, arise. And she got up, she opened her eyes, and she came back to life. Is that not what Jesus did here? He sent everybody out of the room, and Peter, and he goes in, and he says, arise. And she opened up, Tabitha, get up. Just the same as Jesus said, little girl, arise. And she was healed. So Peter did what he saw Jesus do. So God calls us in his word today, the challenge to do what we see our Savior doing. So the question is, and years ago there was this question that was very popular, because people would say, what would Jesus do? You remember that question? Everybody said, what would Jesus do? How would he respond in the situation I'm in? If I'm treated, what would Jesus do? But really, we need to ask it this way. It's what did Jesus do? Because what did Jesus do is what you and I are called to do. And then when we find out what Jesus did, that's what we need to do. What Jesus did and then do it. It's interesting because where did Tabitha or Dorcas live in verse 36? Where did she live? Someone say, Joppa. What was so significant about Joppa? Kim got it. Joppa was the seaport where Jonah went to flee from God. When God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and he gave him the word, go to Nineveh. He said, I'm not going to Nineveh. He went down to Joppa and got on a boat to Tarshish. So he disobeyed what God called him to do in the city of Joppa. But in Joppa, we have Peter doing the works of Jesus, doing what God called him to do. So what do you see Jesus doing? That's what he calls you and I to do. So that means we're to forgive like Jesus. How did we see how Jesus forgave others? How does Jesus forgive totally and fully? To love like Jesus. All that Jesus has done and how he has demonstrated and lived his life before us has come to show us God in the flesh, God in skin, living among us so that we can see what God is like, so that we can imitate him. Not that we can be like him totally, but we can see what he's doing and join him in his work. So that's how we do greater works. What is Jesus doing? And then do it. We are to do what we see Jesus doing around us. Where would Jesus be spending his time? Who would he be ministering to? Who would he be reaching out to? We saw that Jesus often spent time hanging out with the sinners, didn't he? He had dinner with the tax collectors and the sinners. And we know some of the people, sometimes the people in the margins, we like to ignore. But those are things Jesus calls us to do as we seek to do greater works today. In doing what he did. Second thing we can learn from this is no matter what you do for the Lord, it has a great impact for the kingdom. And that's the second thing we can see from this story about doing greater works. Look at Dorcas here in verse 36 and 39. It says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha or Dorcas. And as I mentioned, it's the only time in Scripture where a disciple is tied to a woman. And where a woman is called a disciple, so very interesting. And she was always doing good, and she was helping the poor. And then in verse 39, it said, whenever she had died, they took Peter up to the room, and all the widows stood around him, crying, showing him all the robes and clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. And Dorcas, she wasn't a preacher. She was a seamstress. She had the gift to be able to sew. And she cared for the poor and for the needy, and that's what she did. And she made a significant impact for the kingdom of God in the lives of people just with a needle and a thread. And people say, what can I do for the kingdom of God that makes a difference? When you're cleaning toilets for the house of God, you're making a difference. When you're no matter what you're doing, no matter what we do for God, it makes a big impact for the kingdom. And the quiet serving that is done behind the scenes that many of you do, that no one takes notice to, Jesus does, and it has a big impact. And don't ever feel that you can't make or don't have a big significant impact in the kingdom. Whatever you do for Christ is of great impact to him. Think of all the people's lives that were touched and blessed because Dorcas made clothes for them. So moved were they when she died that they displayed all the clothes to Peter and said, look at all the clothes she made, the blessing she was to us because she made clothes for people in need. There are churches today that still honor Dorcas, and the Lord honored her by putting her in the Word here and by putting her in Scripture and honored her so that we're talking about her today. But there's churches today that have sewing groups called the Dorcas Ladies. Do you ever hear them? The Dorcas Ladies. And they took it from her name. And simply using the gift of sewing. But what gift has God given you? Maybe it's just simply sending a card to someone in need. And many of you do that. When someone's sick, just sending a card. And that's a great impact and a blessing for the kingdom of God. No matter what it is, God uses it when you give it to him. And that's one of the things we see from this story, this account. It's little things done in the name of Jesus makes a big difference. As Christians, we can find all ways to minister in the name of Jesus and do great things for him. For example, there were, and this is dated, but there were 21,800 patients per year who received chemotherapy treatments in Louisville, Kentucky, and were losing their hair. So when Lynette Gannett heard about this, it brought her to tears. She also learned that patients continued and complained about being cold during the night and wrapped pajamas and towels around their heads to keep them warm. So this gave Lynette an idea. She thought, you know, I possibly couldn't meet that need of all of them. It seemed like an overwhelming project, but she said, I decided to try. So the Lynette's project was to create turbans for cancer patients who lost their hair. Some of her first creations were sent to a mother in Kansas. Lynette made a woman many caps for both winter and spring. And later, when Lynette met the woman's seven-year-old daughter, the girl ran up to her, wrapped her arms and legs around her, and said, you made my mom so happy, she has a hat to go with every outfit. Lynette is known as the Hat Lady. And from July 20, 2002 to December 2004, in those 2 years, she made over 1,000 turbans, providing them no charge to people in need. A simple act that used to be a blessing and make an impact for the kingdom. Whatever it is, God can use. She was a modern day Dorcas. Then in a small dusty town in western Oklahoma, one November, there lived a single mother, who was struggling to make ends meet. She worked many hours as she could in a local convenience store, barely making enough to get by herself. But after work, she would take care of her small child and assist an elderly relative who lived in the same town, occasionally running errands for her and buying groceries. It was near Thanksgiving time, and the young mother felt a need to help others during this season and had a growing desire in her heart to do that. So she called local charities and found if there was a cause or a way that she could help out at Thanksgiving, she wanted to give her time to do. Well, a nearby nursing home responded to her and said they needed somebody to style the resident's hair that day. So on Thanksgiving morning, she set off to the nursing home. In the hallway, outside the room where she styled the hair, residents lined up. Some were in wheelchairs, some were in beds, some weren't even awake at all. Many talked little at all, and as she styled their hair to make them look nice for that special day, some of them for family visits, others mostly for nobody even at all to come see them. But within just a few hours of her time, she brightened many lives by giving of her time and her talents. Asked later why she was willing to go through so much to serve, she said, I just needed to give. I made them happy that day. I made a difference. So what is it that you can do for the kingdom? Dorcas used a needle and a thread. And God put her in the scripture and honored her for that. And her life, that blessed many, as the clothes that she made was an impact and blessing to so many others. What is it that you can do no matter what you do for the Lord? It's an impact for him. Attention is always given to those up to have all the on the stage or whatever, but no, the greater impact is what is done silently for the kingdom of God. Little as much when God is in it. That's how we do greater things. The third thing we learn from the story is when others see what you do through Christ, it points them to Jesus. When others see the things you do for and through the power of the Holy Spirit for him, it points people to Jesus. Notice that the results of both of these two accounts. Verse 35, the healing of Aeneas. When Aeneas was healed, and Peter said, "The Lord heals you, get up and take up care of your mat," where he was doing what he saw Jesus do. Verse 35 says, all those who lived in Lydia and Sharon saw him, and what? What's it say? Turned to the Lord. When they saw what the Lord did through Peter and how the Lord worked through him, it brought them, it pointed them to Jesus. Look at later on, going down to verse 42. When Peter raised Dorcas or Tabitha, what's it say? This became all known all over Joppa, and many people, what? Believed in the Lord. That's why the Lord inspired Peter to Luke to include this. Because when the Holy Spirit works through you and I, through the power of the Spirit, and we use the gifts he's given us, doing what Jesus did, through the power of the Holy Spirit, people see Jesus, and it draws people to him. And it points people to Jesus. Jesus himself said, "Let your good works be seen by men as a light to men, that people may let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to who? Your Father who is in heaven." And so when people see what you do through the power of the Holy Spirit, it points people to Christ and leads others to believe in him. And that was the result of both Aeneas and Dorcas here as Peter worked through them, that many have brought more people to Christ and the word of God spread. And the fourth principle we have learned from this is that when the Lord uses what you do, the Lord uses what you do to fulfill his sovereign plan. Notice how this chapter ends. And we can read over this verse, but it's important why it's here. As Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Say, okay, so what's important about that? The Lord God directed Peter's steps to take him to Joppa. And while he was there, he raised Tabitha from the dead with God's power. But he directed him to the house of a man named Simon, a tanner, to live there with him for a while. Because as we're going to see as we go into the next chapter, while he is in the house of Simon's house, God's going to give Peter a vision, a strange vision, of these animals being left down on a sheet of all different kinds of animals. And he's having this strange vision about what this means. At the same time, God spoke to a man named Cornelius and said, "There's a man in Joppa who I want you to send for, because that man in Joppa is going to come and tell you how to have faith in me. And the man in Joppa is going to lead you to me." So Peter was in Joppa because God's plan was being fulfilled. And God uses everything that you and I do, and we may see it's insignificant, but he uses it as a part of his sovereign plan in bringing other people to him and extending the kingdom and doing his work. And so nothing in your life is insignificant. Everything you do is a part of a bigger picture of God's unfolding, of God's master plan, that he reigns, as Thelma reminded. Isn't that awesome? If we see how great our God is, and he's at work. So what does this mean for you and me? Most likely we're not going to be able to heal the sick. Most likely we're not going to be able to raise someone from the dead. But yet God calls us to do great things. So as we apply this, ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself this question, only you can answer these, I can't. But what have I seen Jesus do that I need to be doing? Maybe write that down on your paper. What have I seen Jesus do that I need to be doing? Not the person next to me, but me. Not the person on the other side of the church, not my spouse, but me. What have I seen Jesus doing that I need to do? Do I have grudges I need to release? Do I have unforgiveness, bitterness I need to get rid of? Do I need to love as Jesus? What do I need to be willing to go to those people that are marginalized that I don't want to be near? And that would be one for me. But what is it that we see Jesus doing that I need to do? Write something down there. Second, what can I do that will be a blessing to others? Dorcas used the needle and thread. But what is it that you can do to be a blessing to somebody else? We just sang earlier, make me a blessing to someone today. And what is it that God has given you and gifted you with that can be a blessing to somebody else? Right? Ponder that. Write something down. Then how can I use what I do to point others to Jesus? Because that's what happened here. Or another way to ask that final question is, how is God's glory being seen in what I do? Because whatever we do, the scripture says, whatever we do, we're to do it to the glory of God. Whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, he said, do it to his glory. So how is God's glory being seen in what I do? Another way to answer that question. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. To God be the glory, great things he has done. We are to do what we see Jesus doing. No matter what you do for the Lord, it has great impact for the kingdom. When others see what you do, it points them to Jesus. And the Lord uses what you do to fulfill his sovereign purpose. Greater works than these you will do, Jesus said, because I'm going to the Father. And through the Holy Spirit, he is working through all of us. And when he works through all of us, God's kingdom is extended and the lives of people are changed. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to us. That when you went back to heaven, after completing the Father's work on the cross and the resurrection, you didn't leave us alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit to work in and through us to extend your work in the world. And that's what you've called us to do today. As Jesus said, when you were here, the Father is at work, and you too are, and you are continuing to work, and we are carrying on your work in the world of making disciples, of extending your kingdom, of touching people in your name. And so, Father, may we do, you've called us to do what we see you doing. And so we need to get off the sidelines and onto the playing field and do the works of Christ. And work now, because you said work for the night is coming when man can work no longer. And this is our time until the night comes for us to be doing about your work and building your kingdom. And Father, what is it that you've given us to give to you? Little is much in your hands. And Even things that may seem insignificant to others have great impact for the kingdom, no matter what it is when it's done in your name. As simple as a needle and thread, as simple as a phone call to someone when they're down, as simple as sending a card or a prayer or whatever it is, that it has great impact when we give it to you and use it to bless others. And when you do your work in and through us through the Spirit, it's to point people to you that they would see you and not us, but your glory. And know that whatever you do and you are at work, you're fulfilling your good plan through us, that your sovereign purpose and plan is being extended in the world as you work in and through us and through your church today. So thank you for your word, Lord, that is ever relevant and true. And Lord, may we see you in your word today, be called to action, as the book of Acts really is a book of action. It calls us to action. It calls us to be busy doing your work under your power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, set us on fire. Have us, Lord, do your work in and through us, that this week we are your hands and feet, seeking to be a blessing to those around us that you bring into our life today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.